Zainab Salbi understands what it means to be homeless and living in a foreign country. Salbi is Iraqi. Her father served as a pilot for Saddam Hussein. And in 1990, her parents arranged for her to marry a man in the United States, hoping that by leaving Iraq, her safety would be guaranteed. But her new husband turned out to be abusive.
I ended up leaving the man after 3 months only of the marriage. Iraq had already invaded Kuwait at the time, and I was stuck in America with $400 in my pocket.
That experience inspires her current work as president of Women for Women International. The Washington-based group supports female survivors of war around the world, including Iraq. Tuesday is World Refugee Day, and Zainab Salbi joins me now. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
And it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
How do you think that your own experience is affecting the way that you work now with refugees in Iraq, people in Iraq today who are having to flee their homes?
I think on a personal level, I knew what it means to live in a war. I grew up in the Iran-Iraq war. And war for me is what I call the other side of war, the backline discussion of it. What does it mean to live it? What does it mean to go to school in the midst of bombing? Or, you know, I remember as a kid discussing whether we should sleep in one room. So when a missile land on our home, if a missile land on our home, we would all die together. Or whether we would sleep in different rooms and live our lives and take a risk. These are what's missing. These stories is what's missing from our daily discussions of war. It's the intimate aspects that it touches people.
When you think about refugees, the UN is telling us that there are more than 4 million Iraqis who have been displaced. But behind each of those statistics, there are 4 million personal stories.
Absolutely. When we talk about refugees, we talk about numbers. And in many ways, we deal with refugees as numbers. Even in the distribution of humanitarian aid, they have a number. They take this package of food or whatever it is. No privacy to them whatsoever. There is almost a sense that we have the right to expose anybody's stories. If you go to refugee camps, there are people literally living in tents. And anybody could go and open a tent and, you know, say, I'd like to interview you. And that sense of privacy is deleted. If you're a woman and you're a refugee, and if you happen to be raped, they are oftentimes in camps, as in Bosnia, as in Kosovo, sections of the camp that says rape victims. To make it easier for the health experts and the reporters and anybody who wants to go and interview you, but that you're also stigmatized this way.
You work with, you know, as you've said, you work in particular with women. How do you think that the refugee experience for women is different?
Well, you're that much more vulnerable. As women, you could be attacked actually even by the people who are trying to help you. So that you are vulnerable for rape immediately. Afghan refugees, Afghan women refugees, Women for Women International worked with them when they were in Pakistan. The women would gather once a day to go to the toilets because they were too afraid to go as frequently as they needed. So they will hold themselves together and they would all gather 15, 20 women at a time, walk there to release themselves. And that is simply not respectful of their own culture and their situation and their and status and the whole thing.
You have written a lot about the way that the world views refugees. You think we don't have it right?
I think we are not respective of refugees' integrity, of the individuals of refugees' integrity. I think we have a stereotype or rather we have images that we portray often and often that grabs public's heart and public's attention. And I call it the image of the fly on the face. I can't tell you how many Bosnia particularly, or even Afghanistan or different countries, and the women say, I want to put my lipstick on when I'm taking this picture because that's who I am. I mean, I remember when I had nothing, I still would wear my nice clothes. I refuse to let go of my own dignity because that's at the end of the day all what I had. We talk about the victimization of refugees. We do not talk about their courage and resilience.
The ability to survive.
To survive and to keep on going. It's not only, there is one woman that I met in Rwanda. Her name is Beatrice. And in her case, 7 of her children died on top of her in a church massacre. And they were hiding in the church, and 7 of her children's bodies simply covered hers, and that's why she's alive. after a couple of hours, she actually was able to leave. She was caught again. She was raped. They tried to kill her again, and she simply did not die. When I met her, she was actually living in it's called a Mandela camp. It's a camp for women, mostly women refugees. And she had adopted 5 children, kept the child that she had as a result of rape, sending them all to school, built a small mud home for them, and had a smile on her face. And I call smile an act of resilience, actually, in that case. And so at the minimum, we have been unfair to how we portray the refugees, especially women, as one in one corner as victims and not only as courageous and resilient.
Zainab Salbi is the president of Women for Women International and is the author of the book The Other Side of War: Women's Stories of Survival and Hope. Thank you for coming in to talk with us.
Thank you.